The crust of the earth is also sensitive to tides from the moon as well. It's been measured anywhere from 3 to 6 inches in some places. But if Mars were to be that close, crustal tides on the earth would be several feet. What would that do to plate tectonics and earthquakes and such? Oh boy, would that wreak havoc on the earth. So many ancient cities, Troy, the Etruscan city of Volsinum, that is to say Rome, did you know that they were often destroyed about every 108 years? And then they would just rebuild from the same rubble. If Mars came that close, you would have magnetic field reversals. And if it crossed near the pole of the Earth, magnetic pole, it would shift the axis of Earth upwards of 20 degrees. How many of you guys know that magnetic north is not true north? Because planet Earth is what, everybody? How many degrees? 23 and a third degrees. And if you were at the latitude of Israel, if a nearby passby of Mars, look in the literature, everybody was scared spitless of Mars. Check it out. Why was Mars so freaky? And how could they name these moons? Is it possible that it came so close? And according to the calculation of these human calculators, if it passed near the pole, it could shift the axis of the earth upwards of 20 degrees. And if you were near the latitude of Israel, as the earth shifted on its axis, the sun would appear to what? Move relative to your position. I don't know if it went down that way, but if it did, something happened in 701 BC, and the math model of these two geniuses, what they said was, the last near passby of Mars is what pushed Earth and Mars into their current orbits. And that would account for the difference of 360-day calendars before 701 BC, and it would account for now, everybody knows it's 365 and a quarter days now. Steve, why did you give us the big history and physics lesson on that one? Back to Daniel. Daniel said 69 weeks of years, or 483 years. But you have to use the Old Testament sort of prophetic calendar, not 365 and a quarter, but 360 days. So 483 years times 360 days is 173,800 days. Hold on to that because that's important. Now we'll move a little quicker from here. Verse 25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, we know that's going to be Jesus, there shall be 7 weeks, like you saw, and the 62 weeks, what he's really saying is, at the end of the 69th week, there's something that's going to happen. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublesome times. Verse 26. And after the 62, really the 69th week, or after 173,880 days, Messiah will be cut off or rejected. But not for himself. It's an executable crime, whatever he is convicted of. But he didn't do it. He's innocent, says the prophet. And the people of the prince who is to come, this is the Antichrist. This is one of his descriptions. We know that the Antichrist is going to come from, well, what nation would ultimately destroy Jerusalem in the year 70 AD? The Romans. This is one of the descriptions that the Antichrist will somehow be from the old Roman Empire. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end of it shall be like a flood, meaning it's going to be a pouring out. That's a reference to the diaspora. What happened in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple? The Jews that weren't killed, where did they go? They spread out throughout all of the world. And since 70 AD until 1948, Jews in the diaspora were all over the planet. But what happens in 1948, you guys? The United Nations says Israel will have a nation. May 14th, it happens. And for the first time since 70 AD, the Jews have a sovereign nation. The Bible is making a very interesting claim that there's going to be a decree. And when that decree happens, count 173,880 days until when? Until Messiah is rejected. There was a guy at the turn of last century who saw this and he said, that's a pretty specific detail. And before the wonderful models that we have on your iPad or even your phone, that you can spin the cosmos ahead in the future or spin them backwards if you want to, before that, much of that information resided in the observatories of the world. And one of the big observatories was there in London. Sir Robert Anderson, who was a retired Scotland Yard inspector, we said, well, that's a pretty amazing detail. He got together with some of his friends at the London Observatory. They got their charts out, and they accounted for literally every single 24-hour solar day. You know, the humans monkey with the calendars now and again. The Julian calendar reform, and then the Gregorian calendar reform, and so on. He bypassed all the calendars, and he identified every single literal solar day. He happened to know that Artaxerxes, the Persian king of the region where Daniel is the one who gives the fourth and final decree that Israel can go back and close up the walls there in Jerusalem. You can read about that in the book of Nehemiah. And that date, when that decree happens, is known to be, in our modern calendar, March 14th, 445 BC. So there's Sir Robert Anderson. He starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 100,003, 163,000, blah, 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 173,880 days. And you know what day he came up with? April the 6th, 32 A.D., Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, April the 6th, in the Jewish calendar, would have been Nisan the 10th. What was to happen on the 10th of Nisan? The 14th of Nisan is when Passover happens. The 14th of Nisan is when you take the lamb and you take the blood of the lamb, and in Moses' case, you daub it on the doorpost and the lintel. And the angel of death would see the blood of the, and he would pass over that home. And then the Jews were instructed by the Lord, make sure you remember this every Nisan the 14th. What day did Jesus die on? The 14th of Nisan. Wasn't that lucky? Now, the 14th of Nisan in the year 32 AD was a Thursday. You got to back it up a little bit. And the 10th of Nisan, why is that important? Exodus chapter 12. You sacrifice your Passover lamb on the 14th. What do you do on the 10th? You select your Passover lamb. And in the year 32 AD, the 10th of Nisan was a Sunday. Jesus shows up to the Mount of Olives on Sunday, the 10th of Nisan. We know it as Palm Sunday. Think Jewish. What is the nation of Israel doing on the 10th of Nisan? They are looking for their Passover and proper lamb. That's the day that Jesus said, go get the donkey. Wait a minute, isn't that a prophecy too? Behold, your king comes to you lowly and riding on the foal of a... He's on the donkey. Powerful visual imagery. He's on the Mount of Olives. Is that important? Where did the glory of the Lord depart? When the people were taken captive in Babylon, Ezekiel sees the glory of the Lord depart Jerusalem from what mountain? The Mount of Olives. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives, on the donkey, on the exact day that Daniel said he would be there. The glory of the Lord is returned from the same mountain it left on the 10th of Nisan, when all of Israel is searching for the proper Passover lamb. And there's Jesus, 173,880 days on the donkey, on the Mount of Olives, saying, what about me? Do you see the significance of Palm Sunday? Why did he weep? They're calling him Messiah. I don't know that anyone was really watching Daniel. Somebody should have been. God kept his promise. There's the Lord on the mountain the day that he said he would be there. To the day, you guys. To the day. But Jesus stops the whole crowd because he knows what. He's going to continue on through the Kidron Valley, in through the East Gate, and instead of kicking out Romans and establishing the millennial reign of Messiah, what does Jesus do instead? He turns over the tables. I will not have money changers defiling my Father's house. And as a nation, Israel rejected her Messiah to the day that God said would happen. This was written almost 500 years before Jesus was ever born. How precise is God's knowledge of the future? Verse 26, one more time. After the 62, or if you will, after that 69th, or that 173,880 days, Messiah is going to be cut off. He's going to be rejected. Because of prophecies like that, you can believe what your Bible tells you. Amen? The people, the prince who is to come, the Romans, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end of it, when that happens in 70 AD, is going to be with a flood, literally a pouring out. And the Jews are going to be pouring out over all the earth until 1948. And then the end of the war of desolations are determined. And then he, the Antichrist, that's the pronoun referring back to the last noun, that is the prince of the people who is to come, and the Antichrist shall confirm, more literally, in force, a covenant or a treaty with the many, that's in reference to the people of God, Israel specifically, and there's verses for that one as well, for 1 week. There's your 70th week. Now, does it make sense? 70 weeks total. 69 weeks are going to transpire. It's going to begin when there's the last and final decree to finish the reconstruction of Jerusalem. Now start counting. 173,880 days, Messiah is going to be rejected, which happened. If 70 years total are prophesied, 69 have already transpired. How many weeks are left? It's that last week the 70th week of Daniel that the book of Revelation gives us much more detail on. Don't forget how this whole prophecy started. Your people, Daniel. Who are Daniel's people? Jews. Your holy city, Daniel. What is Daniel's holy city? The book of Revelation is the 70th week of Daniel. It has to do with Israel and not the church. And that's only one of many reasons why I'm convinced that the church will not be there. Meanwhile, between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel, that's where we are. In the great parentheses, the church age. Right now in the church age, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, man or woman. The promises of God's finished work on the cross is available for whom? Everybody. It's a free gift. It doesn't get any easier than that. And then the Bible says, once you invite the Lord in your life and the Holy Spirit resides within you, and the wonderful promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. And because of the second chapter of the book of Acts, the universal pouring out of the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. But when the church age is done, how do we know that it's done? When God says, come home, bride of Christ. And then he returns, does the Lord, his prophetic attention back to where? Israel. For the 70th week. One more time, back up to verse 24. You're going to finish the transgression. Israel calls out to the Lord in the midst of the tribulation. Don't forget, when the Antichrist changes his stripes. To make an end of sins. Right in your margin, the end of Israel's sins specifically is Ezekiel 37, verse 23 is a prophecy. I'll read it real quickly. They, Israel, will not defile themselves anymore, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. When does that happen? When Jesus returns, Revelation chapter 19, to the earth. Now verse 27. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm, literally enforce, a covenant with the many for 1 week. That's Israel. That's how we know that the 70th week of Daniel begins. Not because of Trump in office, not because of whatever people are saying, or planet Nibiru flying in out of nowhere. Not then. How do we know when the 70th week of Daniel begins? Daniel tells us when the Antichrist enforces, makes happen the final peace in the Middle East. And Israel says, we didn't believe anybody could do that. And they are so smitten by this that they think that this Antichrist is their Messiah. He got them peace from their neighbors and he builds them a temple. And they say, you must be our Messiah. But in the middle of the week, remember Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Three of them went in, but in the midst of the fiery furnace, they see who?
Jesus.
That is a model of them going, ding, wow. But in the middle of the week, he, the Antichrist, shall bring an end to the sacrifices and the offerings. That's where Matthew chapter 24 talks about. When you see the abomination of the desolations, that's what Daniel's talking about here. Halfway in of the 7-year covenant, he says, forget about that. I don't want you to worship anybody but me. He sets up a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. And on the wing of the abomination shall be one who makes desolate. He totally pollutes the Holy of Holies of the temple that he, the Antichrist, built. Even until the consummation, which is to say, until he is done away with, until it's all over for the Antichrist and the false prophet, which is determined, oh, it's going to happen, a devil, you can bank on it, is poured out on the desolate. And I want to read it to you because it's fun. This devil is giving us a hard time now. Revelation 19, verse 20 says, then the beast, that's the Antichrist, was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, and by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And that is the end of Daniel chapter 9. Amen? Sections of scripture like this, you guys, I hope that bolsters your faith. These are some very specific details. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, the intellectual side of me just gets giddy with these kinds of in-your-face testimonies of history. They bear it out, Lord, that your Bible is right on the money. Before I get all excited about the rich scholastic satisfaction, prayer, if done with a humble heart, if maybe a little fasting has been going on, denying the flesh, and if I've allowed the Lord to take me out of my convenience, kind of like what Daniel did, I'll go to the Lord with A, B, C. But if I'm humble and really wanting to hear you, I come out of the prayer closet with a revelation well beyond the few things I was petitioning God about. You're like that, Lord. It can happen in a dedicated and focused time of worship. When I come in with my brain full of whatever it's full of, but I come in with worship and I lay my heart at the altar and I lift my hands perhaps and I surrender to you, Lord God, and I sing the songs of Scripture, and I remember who you are. You will expand, Lord, and give revelation to this poor knucklehead. That's how you do things, Lord. If my heart is right, I go into my prayer closet with ABC, and I come out with much more. I want to thank you for that process, Lord. And Harvest, if you need a revelation right now, if there's a Goliath yelling at you, would you take me up on my Goliath project, my Goliath challenge, and would you spend some time with God reading the Psalms out loud and just watch and see what God may show you? In Jesus' name, and all the scholars of end times Bible prophecy said, amen.